Welcome to La Liga Weekly. So it turns out the Matrix was largely true, but we're all trapped in a football simulation game being played by a kid in Stourbridge who keeps quitting and restarting until he gets the result he wants. Trouble is, Jude, it'll get boring if he scored the winning goal every week. In short, Bellingham single-handedly won the Clásico. Real Madrid are top of La Liga because their 20-year-old midfielder keeps rescuing them. To be fair, there were lots of young players in the game. In fact, if you add together, now I think my maths did right on this, but feel free to double check. The ages of Bellingham, Gavi, Fermin Lopez, João Félix, Tchouaméni, Vinicius, Rodrigo and Lamine Yamal, they're exactly the same age as Mick Jagger. Yes, the Rolling Stones frontman was cryogenically unfrozen by Spotify before the match at Montjuic, and he looks sprightly for 166. He was plugging the Stones album along with his bandmate Ronnie Wood, who at the age of 76 is the same age as Luka Modric combined. If you're a Barca fan and you're disappointed about the Clásico, don't be. What can you do? Hey, stop telling us the secrets, Ilkay. We'll come to Gundogan shortly. In all, six of the nine games played so far this weekend changed outcome after the 90th minute, and that includes Girona, who was second, and left poor old Rafa Benitez and the Celta still in the relegation zone. Isco got the winner for Betis in the 94th minute, and Rayo got a draw with Real Sociedad after a Bebe blaster. The good old days. Atleti are the other title contenders after a sixth straight league win with a wonderful goal by Alvaro Morata and another by Rodrigo Riquelme, who, in my opinion, is a better footballer than his dad ever was. Prove me wrong.
Berenguer with a 97th minute goal as well Athletic Club.
Turning the clock back.
It was, turning the clock back. There was three similar goals near post run from strikers as well, which really delighted me. We don't see it as much as we should because teams are insistent on playing one up front.
Yeah.
So when you're playing on your own, it's hard. You pick the far post, the near post, you've probably got a fair chance 50-50 wherever it goes. But when you've got a couple up there, it does make a difference. But in this case, we had three this weekend. Munir got a near post goal, William Jose got a near post goal, and Fran Perez got a near post goal. All similar, exactly the same. So that was, it was a throwback at the weekend, definitely.
Yes, yes. And some terrific football. Clásico was good. We're late today because Terry's just flown back from Barcelona. So obviously, you're not just allowed to watch the Clásico. You have to sit through Mallorca Getafe before you get paid. As an extra twist, because obviously we weren't able to watch it in the UK at 3:15, and not without an illegal stream. And of course, none of our listeners ever watch on illegal streams, Terry. They on Viaplay 5:15, they're allowed to show the game. What do? They rolled in Barcelona Athletic from the previous.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I heard that. Someone did say that.
Yeah. So I was like, I thought, no, they what's they can't. And I thought, and it went on for 5 minutes or so. I tweeted them in there. I don't know anyone there, so I was like, change it, but lads, this is the wrong game. And then it did.
I heard someone mention that, and I thought, it went above my head. So I thought, surely not. That can't be right.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that. I didn't realise that is it what happened.
Yeah. So that was on. Yeah, I don't. I was watching on my laptop, so I don't know if that was on the telly as well, or whether they just. I don't know. I don't know how they stream it, but they. Or which game, indeed, they're going to stream. But there we are. Apparently, Darren tells it. I'll get to Darren's detail points later, but he does point out that in Ireland, they did get to watch it, which is handy, because obviously you pay for it and you want to watch it and you're allowed to watch it. So, you know, well done. Right, so shall we talk about the Clásico, Terry? I think we'll start there,
or
shall we?
Should we start with Mallorca Getafe? No, definitely a Clásico. It's a weird kickoff time. It even looks weird in daytime, doesn't it? I think in the daylight, there was a big shadow across a quarter of the pitch. Rest of it was bathed in sunlight. It doesn't look as appealing as when it's under the lights and it's dark and it's so that it is a weird kickoff time. And I thought it was a really good game. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was intriguing. I looked at the tactics before the game, and then I was wondering what Xavi would do in terms of the right side of his team up against the left side of Real Madrid's team, and there was changes. Araujo at right back and Cancelo playing further forward. So he made some concessions to the fact that, you know, that's where they're strong. That's where they put the bodies. And they continue to do that, Real Madrid. I'd be fascinated to see how it's happening, whether it happened by accident or whether I, because when you see their average team shape, it actually, at the end of the game, it looks pretty normal, and I'll come to why. But at the, for the first half, there's like six players on the left. I did a clip on La Liga TV stopping it, and Danny Carvajal was on the left at one stage joining in the fun. And I think, what's going on there? So it's weird how that's worked. And they suffered. I thought Real Madrid suffered. I thought Barcelona were really good, got their tactics right. Xavi makes a wonderful point after the game where he said for 60 minutes they were in control. And I believe that to be true. And then there was a change, and the change was Modric coming on, Hossenu coming on, two players that like and prefer to play down the centre, which led to Bellingham play in more central role as well. And it had a more orthodox shape about the Real Madrid team. But Xavi was right. They had five or six attempts that were decent. They had woodwork twice. And the shot from Bellingham, the goal from Bellingham for the first goal is probably their first genuine, direct, worthy attempt on goal. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Barcelona were totally outplaying them, but in terms of chances created, Barcelona looked more threatening. So I thought up until that point, it was a good, really good performance from Barcelona, and they probably should have been ahead by more than the one goal. And then once that goal goes in, it's anybody's game. And then what told then, I believe, was the strength from Real Madrid's bench. And not only the players that came on, because Rafinha came on, Lewandowski came on, Lamine Yamal came on. But Rafinha and Lewandowski are not up to match speed yet, whereas Modric came on, Hossenu came on, Camavinga came on. They put on players that were match fit and match sharp, and Real Madrid finished the stronger. And I could see a goal coming either way. I was really happy that both teams went for the win, because at that stage, if you're Barcelona, you could be thinking, well, we're running out of gas a little bit. Let's play a little bit safer. Let's keep our shape. Let's not concede a goal, because we know what Real Madrid are like. They don't mind a late goal. And Real Madrid could have looked at it and thought, we haven't played particularly well in this game. We've done well to get back on level terms. We could shut up shop. We'd be quite happy with a draw. But that wasn't the case. Both teams went full-blooded for the win. It was open, end-to-end, not a lot of midfield play. And I could see a goal coming. I wouldn't have been able to predict which way it was going to go. Possibly the easiest prediction would have been Jude Bellingham.
But we need to talk about Bellingham. It's just remarkable.
I can't think of any other player in my lifetime that's had this impact at a new club. Scoring, certainly, there may have been some strikers that have had an impact at a club.
How did Ronaldo
got off
do
the mark quickly?
We
were looking at that. He got injured as well.
Right.
So
okay.
He had an injury, I think, early in his stages at his first season at Real Madrid. But in terms of, that's not even Bellingham. It's not why they bought him.
No.
You know, he's a midfield player.
Mm. If you'd said 10 goals for the season, you'd say that was really good. Yeah.
I said that on there. I said that I was hoping he was going to get playing time because the competition is fierce in midfield. But he set off well in pre-season, and then it's just gone on from there. And it's outrageous. Mm. And you saw his interview after the game. I don't know if you've seen it. He looks downbeat. He looks... Yeah, I wasn't at my best today. And I'm just wondering if the whole thing is going completely over his head. That I don't know whether he's in a bubble where he doesn't realise that he's astonishing the whole football world with this 20-year-old kid that's just on fire, that's ripping it up in every single game. And his goals are not... He's not getting three goals in a 6-0 win.
Mm.
I'm going to add up this week.
How many points is due?
And all three Champions League games. He's 10-10 in La Liga. And I agree with you. My point I was making then was I was hoping he got off to a good start, because we've seen big transfer players go to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And if they're not first choice to start with, and the competition was fierce. Before the season started, he's up against Tchouaméni, Camavinga, Fede Valverde, Toni Kroos, Luka Modric. He's 20. He was 19 when he signed in the summer. And you're thinking, I hope Ancelotti gives him an opportunity to get a good run going. It's just, he's now number one on out of the whole team.
Mm.
And he's carried them this season. Because again, in this game, they weren't great. It wasn't great, to be honest. If he hadn't scored the goals, you'd be looking at the game and saying, he did okay. You wouldn't be criticising him. He did okay. He was tired. He worked hard. He was, but the two goals and all the other goals just lead you to think, I'm still not sure. I have to be honest, I'm still not sure what type of player he is. And I think that's the confusing aspect of it, because his goals that he's scoring, he isn't your classic playmaker midfield player. He's an athlete that can do everything. I think that's the problem. He literally is good at everything. And on top of that, the most important part of football is scoring goals. He can do that better than anyone else is doing.
He's
a phenomenon in terms of, you know, he's not just good at one thing or two, three things. He's brilliant at absolutely everything. It's the first time we've seen him score that type of goal, the long range one, where it was a brilliant strike. And Barcelona were probably paying attention to his runs in the box until the second goal. But at that stage of the game, Gavi was absolutely brilliant as well. I loved their competition in midfield. And they played in really good spirit as well. There's some great footage of them hugging each other during the game, giving each other high fives during the game, fouling each other during the game. And I'm thinking that could be there for another 10 years, Barcelona, Real Madrid. You're looking at the two leaders of the two massive clubs in world football, La Liga, and they could be the two leaders. And it was played in a really good spirit. And Gavi was brilliant. He was the one that headed the ball clear for Bellingham to bring down. And nobody else went and closed him down until it was too late. But they were probably happy, Barcelona, thinking, well, he's not running into the box. Let him have it there. Let him shoot. And he rifles it in the top corner, because we hadn't seen him do that. So, again, another part of the game that we're still learning about Bellingham that he's brilliant at. I can't recollect any player anywhere, anyone, having an impact like this, let alone a 20-year-old at Real Madrid. Scored in his debut in the Champions League, scored in his debut in the Clásico. He's winning them points left, right and centre. God forbid what they'd be doing now without Jude Bellingham.
That is
literally, not single-handedly, but almost. They're top of the league. They're 9 points out of nine in the Champions League. And most of it is down to Jude Bellingham.
If Mbappe had signed and done this, it would have been saying he's as good as Messi, Ronaldo. This is Bellingham doing it, and you know it's been remarkable.
It's great as well. I'm sitting in Spain, and we've got a young English player ripping it up on fire, and it's great for an Englishman to see that. He's doing his country proud, for club and country, but. It's astonishing what he's doing. I can't believe it, to be honest.
I want to ask you a couple of Barcelona questions from our Patreons. Patreon.com/LTEL, by the way, if you want to keep us in business. Darren says, so the title race, defeat for Barca yesterday, obviously sent me this yesterday, heightened the poor draws at Getafe, Mallorca and Granada. Had they won them all and played with the same attitude in the first half on Saturday, they'd be ahead of Madrid in the table. They were no worse than 3 points behind at any stage last season. Now they're four behind and have a brutal run in the league up to Christmas. Away to Real Sociedad, Rayo and Valencia. Home games against Atleti and Girona, all within the next six. Philip says, thinking back, I think it's the elite mentality in Madrid that was the difference. Real Madrid have so many players that are used to big matches and delivering. Most of the Barca squad are used to coming up short. We rarely kill the opponents. Add that to Ilkay Gundogan, who I thought was absolutely fascinating and is sort of very softly spoken German accent, doesn't he? He speaks English with a quite a strong German accent. But he was devastating what he said, I thought, in terms of, I can't remember who the interviewer was, but he said...
Bruno.
Are the players...
It was Bruno's La Liga TV. We're happy with that scoop. Yeah. Bruno asked the question.
Are the players unhappy in there? And Gundogan said, no, not enough. And then he went on to say, basically, Philip's point about elite mentality. He took his share of the responsibility, but he basically, I didn't come here to lose games and be below Real Madrid and Girona. And he credited Girona as well.
It was fascinating because it was candid, wasn't it? Which we don't often get.
Yeah.
And it's important that the message came from him, because no one can dig him out.
Yeah.
He won the treble last year, and he was a huge part of it at the end of the season. His goals at the end of the season, the FA Cup final and other games, he was a huge part of that. He has the mentality of a winner.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think coming from the right person, Xavi loves him as well. So I don't think there'll be any fallback. What it has led to, though, is now people are guessing, who's he talking about?
Mm.
You know, is it the younger players? Is it the older players? Is it those middle-aged players? And people are now looking to see how players were behaving after the final whistle on the pitch and stuff like that, and accusations. Oh, he's shaking his hand and he's hugging him and stuff like that. So it opens up a can of worms, but I don't think the players should be too precious that it's been said. And it comes from Gundogan.
Hmm.
So, it's fascinating. I mean, they need that. I think it's a bit harsh to say they come up short. They did win the league last year.
Yeah.
They suffered in Europe, but they did win the league last year. So their mentality was good last season. And I thought they were good in this. I thought Gundogan, it was his best performance in a Barcelona shirt, technically. I think all his passing was spot on, which hasn't been the case so far this season. He's finding his way. He's playing hold midfield, attacking midfield. He's playing with different partners in midfield. But I thought at the weekend, after getting the early goal, I thought he was superb. I thought Gavi was super. I thought they were good, Barcelona. Fermin Lopez was good. Probably should have scored. Went for the difficult finish, didn't he, at the near post, where it was the narrow option instead of going across goal, and there was a big, wide-open piece of the goal to aim at that side, and that he probably would have scored. He was unlucky, though. Christensen hit the post. You know, Araujo had a good attempt from the follow-up from the Christensen's attempt. So I thought we have to bear in mind the injured players missing as well. I wouldn't panic if I was Barcelona.
Mm.
4 points behind. It seems far-fetched to imagine Bellingham is going to score 38 goals in La Liga this season on his own. We said 4 or 5 weeks ago, he can't continue this. But it's not going to happen. He's going to continue playing well, continue being a fantastic player, but can they rely on him to score and dig them out of trouble every game? Of course they can't. So if I was Barcelona, I wouldn't panic. Injured players will be coming back. They've had a spell of injured players. I mean, Real Madrid have lost Courtois and Militao for the season. Atleti have had injured players. I'm sure at some stage Real Madrid are going to be missing players. Tchouaméni, I think, isn't it, has broken his metatarsal. He's going to be missing. It swings and roundabouts. I don't think it was a day to write Barcelona off. I thought they played well. And Real Madrid just have that belief, don't they? And, you know, it's a changing squad from the 2 or 3 years ago where they were losing those games in the Champions League, kept coming back and winning. But it's just a historic tradition that when you play for Real Madrid, you never beat.
Mm.
And that was the case. They in this game, they weren't playing particularly well. They're 1-0 down. They don't panic. They have genuine belief that something's going to happen. And it did. And then once it goes 1-0, they have the belief then that the confidence that let's go and win it. And that's exactly what they did. And you know, Modric coming off the bench, he changed the game completely. You know, he didn't want to go and join in on that nonsense that's going on the left wing where everyone's congregating.
Yeah.
He wants to play in the centre. And also, Bellingham's happy to play in the centre. Hosseloom's playing in the centre. And suddenly you have a more of an orthodox approach from Real Madrid. And instead of 55% of all the attacks going down one flank, and Barcelona crowding it as well, it opened up and they were better for it. So I wouldn't panic if I was Barcelona. I thought they were good. Real Madrid had a really strong finish to the game. They got the player that's on fire. And there wasn't a lot between them. So I wouldn't panic. Lewandowski will be back. He'll come back at the weekend, but he needs to get sharper and fitter. He's been missing for nearly a month. Rafinha, Koundé, Frankie de Jong is a big miss for Barcelona. So obviously, if you're a Barcelona fan, frustrating, disappointing, maybe more so than some of the players, according to Gundogan. But I wouldn't panic if I was Barcelona. And that run of six games there, if you're Barcelona, you still fancy your chances in all of those games.
Mm.
Atleti is the hardest one there. But the rest of them, you still fancy yourself to beat Girona. And you know, I agree that the points dropped this season so far have been disappointing in the games that they've drawn. Mallorca, Getafe and Granada, but it's still early in the season yet. So my message to Barcelona, don't panic. Message to Real Madrid, the title's not done and dusted. Far from it. And, you know, Atleti, Girona on the towel, so in amongst the mix.
Yeah,
so
it's a proper race.
Exciting. Yeah.
Fermín López making his fourth senior start, which is remarkable, isn't it? It's just,
yeah.
just, you know.
And he's really good, by the way. Yeah, he's a really good player. Another one, I'm not sure where he's going to fit in. We haven't seen enough of him to identify him as what type of player he is. He looks like an attacking midfielder, clearly. Will Barcelona play that player? Will he play in the three? Will he play in the front three? He's another fantastic young player that's coming through. And Xavi appears to like him and giving him his opportunity. The young players is such a theme in La Liga now, particularly certain clubs. And Barcelona is incredible that they keep playing these youngsters. And they're absolutely brilliant. For young players, they are brilliant. We're looking at Balde now as the replacement for Jordi Alba and just accepting and assuming this 19-year-old kid out there is, it's Balde. He's playing again. He's playing again. He's playing again. He's playing well again. He's playing well again. It's ridiculous how good they are.
Yeah.
So young. Gavi's almost 200 games for club and country. He's still 19. And, you know, he certainly isn't one of those that Gundogan would have been referring to. He cares. You know, it's... Pedri's to come back. I forgot to mention Pedri. When they get Pedri back fit. So Barcelona have got better to come.
Yeah.
But the young players in that game, and you mentioned the Real Madrid players as well. Mm. And the Ronnie Wood and Mick Jagger. I had so many puns lined up. I just never felt it was the right. If it'd been a draw and everyone been happy, I might have thrown a few things in, but we had an interview with Downbeat Xavi and I nearly said, you can't always get what you want at the end of it, but might not be the right time to do it. And then we saw Manuel Pellegrini at the game and he would have been ideal sitting between Roddy Wood and Kev Jacob that far. Why do pop stars and rock stars never go bald? That's my question. That's the big question for our followers.
I think
Jagger, Ronnie Wood, they enjoyed the hospitality as well, hadn't they?
I think the two things might be related. I think sometimes I think the unhealthy living, and you look after your hair. I can't decide with Mick Jagger whether, because he can move around for a man of his age, but his face does look like he's about 150. So.
But they looked like they'd enjoyed the hospitality as well. They were right in the fun of it. It was an early kickoff, thankfully. It was 9 o'clock at night. Otherwise, they'd have been absolutely hammered sitting there. But they looked like, despite the result, they looked like they had a good time. It actually brought a bit of prestige and interest and glamour. The game doesn't need it.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool. The shirt looked cool.
Yeah.
And the association with the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Yeah. The association with the Rolling Stones was pretty iconic. So,
I'm not sure what Florentino Perez would think. All these kids, you know. I'm not sure the Rolling Stones is the way to bring in back the youth market. But you know, all right for the old guys. Right, shall we talk about Atletico? And I've got the other eight games to do in La Liga. Atletico, I mean, 2-1 against Alaves looks like it was a bit of a struggle, doesn't it? But they scored two fine goals. I won't name names because it's not fair. But there are plenty of English people in English football. Who haven't got that? Who still regard Atleti as the kind of BT style panto? You know, BT hate them, don't they? Basically, they do, and make them out to be like pantomime villains, and they're always cheating. And you look at this iteration of Atleti, anything but.
I've got bored of telling people no, they're not the 2014 version. Yeah. They were brilliant, by the way. They're not as good as the 2014 Atleti yet, but they're not that version. I mean, last night's goal could have been avoided.
Yeah,
Alaves did have one or two other chances and put a bit of pressure in the second half when Atleti appeared. They made some changes and they took their foot off the gas and they were cruising. There should have been a third goal. I can't see how that goal was disallowed. I just can't get my head around that. I know the instruction was maybe there was a possibility of a head injury for Duarte when he rugby tackles Llorente.
Yeah.
Llorente's breaking away. Ruben Duarte tries to rugby tackle him. There's an arm thrown out because he's literally being rugby tackled. And the referee blew the whistle, not for a foul. The foul eventually went to Atleti. Both players got booked. But he blew the whistle before the attack finished, before Llorente crossed it and Griezmann scored. But he allegedly blew the whistle because he thought there was a head injury.
Yeah.
I kind of get is you've got to be cautious.
Yeah.
But we then have players going down, holding their head and to stop an attack.
Hmm.
And the free kick went Atleti's way. So it should have been an advantage 5 seconds later. then, you know, I can't see how that was disallowed. But no, they took the foot off the gas, but they were good. They were good. They were good for an hour, totally dominant. Alaves, I thought we're going to get away with getting in at half time, just one goal behind. But Morata was in good form, scored a really brilliant goal. Excellent finish. And you're thinking that's it, that in the second half, it could be three or four. But Luis Garcia Plaza put an extra defender on. They went to a back five because they couldn't deal with, particularly Molina. Molina was the bigger threat. I know Riquelme scored the goal, but Molina was just non-stop. So they had to deal with that. They couldn't. So the three at the back, it works for Atleti now. You know, and they've still got players themselves missing that will be valuable in terms of giving the other players a rest. Reinildo, I believe, is near to back to full fitness. Savage is back now, so that helps. Jimenez came off the bench, still waiting for Memphis Depay to be back to fitness as well. So, no, they're in good shape. They Alaves, I think Luis Garcia Plaza will be not delighted. He would have been as pleased as punch that when they were 2-0 down at half time, they didn't go under. And then they, you know, they did get the goal back. Another 5 minutes might have been interesting, but it was a very late goal. Guevara, they've got some decent players, Alaves. They need confidence, need to start scoring on a more regular basis. But in the end, it was a tighter match than it should have been for Atleti.
Girona won again. It was late though. Yango Herrera, relatively long range shot, wasn't it? I'm trying to remember it from outside the area. Yeah.
Great goal, great finish.
Celta have lost again, stuck in the bottom three. There was another goal disallowed, wasn't there?
Terrible.
Yeah. So a foul on the goalkeeper was the verdict, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, he spills it. The ball and falls over. And
he's got one eye on the player coming in, isn't he? So takes his eye off the ball and drops it. And then, if anything, he collides with the Celta player who's trying to evade touching the goalkeeper. And then Gazzaniga goes down holding the injury. They tap the rebounds, gets tapped in. It should have been a goal. I have no doubt.
I agree.
I'm not even sure of the procedure, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was disallowed. And then it didn't appear as if VAR obviously do get involved, but nothing happened. And it was one of those where clearly did need a look.
Yeah. Closer look. But what I suspect happened was, I can't remember who the Celta player was, but he does at one point just put his hand up. But I think he's perfectly normal in the you know, and he puts his hand out towards Gazzaniga, and it's never a foul. It wasn't what knocked him over. It wasn't that kind of contact. Yeah. I guess they looked at it and thought, oh no, if he said that, we'll back him up, and his hand does touch the goalkeeper.
That's not good enough, though, is it?
I think that's what's happening, isn't it?
If, in that case, they should have said, go and have a look.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, there was allegations that they don't send before the goal ball went in.
Yeah, they don't send them over, do they? And unless they're going to change their mind, because as soon as you see them go, they've looked at it, and they almost can't think of a way of backing up their mate on the field. Is the state, isn't it? Whereas I think they looked at that and thought, oh yeah, you could probably give it for that.
It's a perfect example, isn't it, of a team that everything's going their way.
Yeah, and a team that nothing's going for. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, Celta's had, in my opinion, a goal disallowed against Real Madrid that should have been allowed for a foul, that was given for a foul on the goalkeeper.
Oh,
as
yes.
Well.
We had a different view of that, didn't we? But yes, I know the one you mean.
So there's a couple of goals that could have gone the other way, and Celta were in a different position.
Yeah.
But Girona were a better team, probably shaded it and deserved to win. Celta weren't awful. I was pleased to see Renato Tapia back in because I think he's a good, solid La Liga player. But Rafa Benitez ignored him for most of this season. But he left out Fran Beltran. And I think Fran Beltran and Tapia are the two that should be starting and making Celta more solid.
Yeah.
Dottori is playing. He's a young player. And it's a tougher young player in this situation to make your way in your first full season in La Liga. So I kind of feel there is an option there that with Beltran and Tapia that might help Rafa Benitez get out of the mire that Celta find themselves in. So it was a perfect example of everything going one team's way. Great goal from Yango Herrera. Girona were good. Celta were pretty decent as well. It could have easily been a draw, this one, but unfortunately for Celta, their miserable run of form continues.
Cadiz and Sevilla drew 2-2. I think I'm right in saying, I can double check. No one in the bottom eight, as we talk now in Monday afternoon, no one in the bottom eight has won for 5 games, which is quite remarkable, isn't it? It's like, obviously Granada and Villarreal play later. So obviously, although they could draw and that sequence could continue, of course. Just a load of draws or obviously defeats for the teams at the bottom. I guess it's early in the season, so if you lose a game, then you're likely to slip down towards there.
We've got a few teams that are not scoring a lot of goals. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I'm looking, I'm thinking Las Palmas. I'm looking at the, you know, other teams, and Almeria and Alaves and Cadiz. And there's a few of those teams about, and you're thinking, they've only got, I mean, Las Palmas at the weekend, they went into that game and scored, I think it was 6 goals and 3 were penalties.
Yeah. They're remarkably high in the league for never scoring. Yeah.
And they had 11 points.
Yeah.
I mean, they went goal crazy at the weekend and got a couple and gone up to 14 points. But the Alaves have got 8 goals, I think, 9 now. But 8 and 4 came in one game against Sevilla. So the rest of the season, well, they haven't scored in that game, they haven't scored in that game. So that's the big problem. Then you've got the other end of the problem where, you know, Almeria and teams like Granada score enough goals but concede a load of goals.
Yeah.
So it is interesting how the league is panning out. Almeria, the only team without a win so far, I think. So we've had that in recent seasons where we've had Levante and Elche that didn't win seemed like forever. It does appear to be more competitive. So like teams like Mallorca and Getafe are in that bottom eight are drawing every game.
Yeah.
So it is interesting how it's panning out. But Cadiz, they're one of those teams that are not scoring enough goals, despite having 7 centre-forwards that are all good, or should be good.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at their squad, it's ridiculous. They've gone from a team that were players that came up into the division, but we didn't know too much about, and they played under Alvaro Cervera and a negative type of football. And now all their players, and we've got to know players like Fali, who's playing in the top division for the first time, and Issa Carson, and we've got to know them now. But then all of a sudden you look around and you go, well, they've got Negredo, they've got Roger Marti, they've got Maxi Gomez, Chris Ramos looks really good, Ruben Sabrino and Sergi Guardiola. You're thinking, how are these not scoring goals? You know, and they're strong at home. They were unlucky in this game. I think it was a really good game, actually. We needed it after the Mallorca Getafe 0-0 after the Clásico. We needed to liven up the Saturday night, and that was a really good game. And a decent comeback from Sevilla, who continue to look good, but are still not picking up wins. So it was a really good game. And Darwin Machis add that to the talent that they've got in attack. So Cadiz, I feel, is better around the corner. They're better in this game. They lost last Monday, didn't they, after having Robert Navarro sent off really early in the game at Valencia. So I think, you know, it was a really good game. And Ramos scored. Chris Ramos, not Sergio, and an interesting goal from Rakitic, which probably needs describing. I think he meant it.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, I think he means it. People haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I would describe it as a backhand, backspin backhand over a tennis net with your foot. So, you know, when you do a backspin, underspin, would they call it? It's a backspin in.
You sort of slice tennis. It, don't you? You go underneath it and it puts a bit of backspin on it. Yeah,
Better backspin.
Yeah.
That's what he's done because he's bright enough in that moment, split second, to know if I follow through with the laces on this, it's just going to go over the bar. There's no way he could keep it down. So he does undercut it and put some spin on it. Now, whether there's good fortune to drift over the goalkeeper and Desmond creep into the top corner, but it was any way he was going to have any attempt on target. So it was an interesting technique.
All long-range goals are a little bit lucky, aren't they?
Well, Bellingham's at the weekend. I think he's aiming for that part of the goal.
Yeah.
I think in general, sometimes you do get a goal where players just hit the life out of it. And it can go anywhere as long as it's on target and he has the power. I thought Bellingham actually picked that side of the goal out and drilled it. And if you look at the rotation on Bellingham, it barely rotates.
Yeah.
It just goes straight. And I think, I think there is an element of luck on most
of them. On some of them. Because actually, Bebe's was a really good goal as well, wasn't it?
It was in the studio and there's 3 of us saying, he's going to shoot. And you just know that the team, Ralph Sosnier, they all think he's going to shoot. obviously did score. Yeah, yeah. No, Cadiz Sevilla was a really good game.
Yeah.
And so both teams played well.
Yes, we've gone all over the place there, haven't we? So Betis against Osasuna. I was speaking to our Patreon, Henry, the other day. It's tough going being an Osasuna fan just at the moment.
Yeah, but not as tough as it has been 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's a measure of where they've come
mm.
and a little sticky period. They're fine, Osasuna. They're a good team. They were lucky not to get a point in this game. Play-wise, Betis deserved it.
Yeah.
But when Ruben Garcia equalises, we were cracking goal in the 85th minute. You're thinking Betis have dropped points here. Pellegrini was making a big play about home Osasuna, home against Mallorca. If they win those two without a European match in midweek, they're back in, you know, challenging for the top four. Mm. So that would have been a blow to Betis. But then Isco was brilliant. And he has been brilliant. He makes the first goal for William Jose with a cross, one of those near post runs I was talking about. And then the technique for his goal, oh, we're talking about Rakitic's finish.
Mm.
Isco's is an inside of the foot volley with a bit of swerve and topspin on it. So I don't know. That was like another tennis shot as well. And there was no chance for the keeper. So I was just sooner unlucky to be beaten by an unbelievable goal.
Although were there any red cards? Did we manage to go a whole week without a red card? Or so far, so obviously game to come. Because David Garcia got shown a red card, and because it was a second yellow foul on Joao, wasn't it, in the penalty area, and he, I thought he was very lucky, if I'm honest, because I didn't think.
Yeah, I'm just checking for the other red cards. I don't think we have.
No.
Had a red card. I can't recollect, and I've watched all of them, even the Friday night game, and
yeah.
No, the only person I remember getting sent off is one of the coaching staff at Celta.
Yeah.
He went absolutely ballistic.
David Garcia got shown a red, and then they rescinded it, even though it was a second yellow, because it was a penalty. And they decided that there wasn't any contact. And I thought he was lucky, if I'm honest, because Gia was going so fast, it absolutely roasted him, that a little bit of contact. And I thought there was a bit of contact. I thought he just pulled his shoulder, hit his shoulder or something. And... Yeah. When you're going that fast, I think a little bit of contact does knock you over. And I thought that's what happened. I thought he was lucky, but there we are. So that's, you know, in the end.
I'm astonished we haven't had the red cards, actually.
I know. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's good, isn't it? As long as there are none required.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Real Sociedad 2-2 then. Rayo, obviously, we mentioned Bebe's goal. Moomin's goal was quality as well. Absolutely larrups it, doesn't he?
Yeah, Romero probably should have done better with the initial save, but he pushes it well away from goal. It's one of those you thought he could have caught. He pushes it well away from goal, but he's not expecting them moving to thunder it back past him from quite a decent angle as well.
Mm.
So that was an excellent goal. And then Real Sociedad came up with quality. The goal, the cross from Barrenechea, the right foot, open foot volley finish from Oyarzabal, who is really back to his best now. I'm really pleased with that. Pleased that he's took a while, but I'm pleased he's right back in form now. And that's their best front three now, isn't it? Wouldn't have picked it at the start of the season. Kubo on the right, Oyarzabal down the middle, and Barrenechea. There are other players at Real Sociedad you thought might have had the opportunity to nail down the position as the strongest front three. But Barrenechea, he had a cruciate ligament injury when he was about 17, 18. But he's brilliant. Kubo's brilliant. Oyarzabal's brilliant. Real Sociedad were really good. It was in the balancing. It was in the balance, wasn't it? And then you just Bebe comes on. He even had a ridiculous attempt, didn't he, from the edge of the centre circle? Did you see that?
With no,
a free
no,
kick.
I missed that. Yeah, right.
It was free kick after the goal. He gets a free kick. It's literally on the edge of the centre circle, and he takes a 20-yard run up from his own half, and he hits someone who's there was a one-man wall 10 yards in front, and he hit them. If it cleared him, it was goal-bound. So, ridiculous shooting stats, ridiculous reputation for having shots. But in this case, it paid off. He scored the goal the week before as well. So, he's back again. He was out on loan. He's back again and featuring. And a cult, one of the cult figures, I think, now in La Liga this season is Bebe.
Yeah. Can I give a quick plug, by the way, everybody? The British Spanish Society. If you have a look on their website, November 2nd, so this week, Jimmy Burns, the brilliant Spanish, well, he's writes about Spanish football and plenty of other stuff as well, but including, you know, famous book on Barca. So he's talking to Thomas Hill, who from the Athletic. So the two of them, if you're interested in that, if you're anywhere near London, the British Spanish Society, it's not free, so you have to go on their website, buy yourself a ticket. And right, one more game. I'm not gonna detain you with Mallorca Getafe, but Athletic got a 2-2 draw with Valencia. Another entertaining game, wasn't it? Valencia are admirable the way that they've, you know, dealt with a lot of adversity. This group of players. And then, but Athletic kept going. And as you said at the start, Terry, one of those, probably the latest of all those late goals, wasn't it?
Yeah, Berenguer came off the bench, scores a decent goal as well, header. But Valencia, they were breathtaking in the second half. All the teams I've watched at the weekend, it's been really good games. I think I enjoyed that performance in the second half, Valencia most. They're so daring, so courageous, full of spirit, full of guts. And a team for the young players. And the supporters deserve this team. Ruben Baraka deserves the success, relative success that he's getting. The club have been so lucky.
Yeah.
The club and the fact that, I mean, they've had the wise decision to appoint Baraka, a wise decision to get him to stay because he nearly went in the summer. And, you know, they've backed him in terms of giving him the full-time appointment, and he's been brave enough to play the kids. I'm not sure he had much choice anyway, but he had full faith in these kids, and these kids are brilliant. Diego Lopez, Javi Guerra, Fran Perez, they're super. Mosquera at the back, and they play. It's just exciting to watch them. I felt for them that they didn't get the win, but I think Athletic deserved something from it, and they played well as well.
Yeah,
they looked good in attack. It was a scintillating game. I really enjoyed that one. It was a fantastic game, to be honest. And Valencia, 15 points. I thought they would struggle, and they're not. If people are not watching them, and you get the opportunity, tune in. They're really like good to watch.
I don't know if you saw the Neville Carragher argument about Manchester United. Is it the Glazers or is it Ten Hag and the players? The answer is obviously it's both. It's like you and me sitting here shouting at each other. You shouting at me, it's October, and I'm shouting back, it's Monday. And you shouting, it's October, it's Monday. And you think, well, yeah, it's obviously both, isn't it? Because you obviously at Manchester United, the structure, the foundations are built on sand, and then they keep coming along and making tactical mistakes. So the strategy is wrong and the tactics are wrong. You know, the long term is wrong and the short term is wrong. Whereas Valencia, obviously, the long term is a mess, but short term, doing what you can with what you've got, Barra has done a terrific job.
Yep, and I mean, Bordalas did that, not with the young players, but doing what your budget was, working with what you had, keeping them safe away from relegation struggles, because the way the club has gone in recent years, they're probably due a relegation battle. I know they flirted with it last season. But then suddenly you have we're talking about Barcelona's youngsters. The next issue with Valencia is going to be keeping these youngsters, because already clubs are circling. They have to be, because they're all, the four of them that I mentioned are brilliant. So that's going to be the problem. That I would hope that Valencia, unless it's the buyout clause, then there's nothing they can do. But I would hope that Valencia are in a position to say, no, we want to keep these players, give them new contracts, give them higher buyout clauses, and look to make a real platform for the future, as opposed to, my fear is that the buyout clauses are not significantly high because they're young players and they get taken away from Valencia just as a good thing gets going.
Because, and also, there's a lack of wisdom sometimes about moving, isn't there? If you're a young player and playing, I mean, it's a big club, no matter what mess it's in, club. It's still a big club, isn't it? And if you're playing in La Liga every week, then keep playing. Would be the advice, wouldn't it? I would have thought rather than...
They could end up going to a Premier League club and we don't see them for another 2 or 3 years. They might be on loan at a Championship club next season.
Well, a Brian Hill kind of situation where he comes on for like 2 minutes every now and again. And you think, Brian Hill, he's really good.
Loaned out to a Championship club and thinking, I was playing for Valencia every week last year with my mates. That's the other attraction. You've got a group of youngsters that all know each other really well and some decent older pros as well. So, you know, if you haven't had the opportunity to watch Valencia much this year, take it. They're a really good watch. I'm sure you'll enjoy it, and you'll be impressed with the young players.
Right, we'll leave it there. Thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you particularly to the Patreons for your continued support. Patreon.com/LTEL. And if you want to join us, we'll see you there. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.